Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We ask for your breath upon this service tonight. We ask that you bless someone, touch somebody. Let your seal of preservation come upon someone. And let nobody leave this room. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hands. Welcome somebody by your side. Precious name of Jesus. What a very hectic convention week and also highly impactful convention we had. Testimonies coming from everywhere showing that we didn't waste our time last week. To God be the praise. Tonight is our preservation service for the month of September. And I'm speaking on wisdom for living. Wisdom for living. And our objective is understanding the wisdom keys for durable and quality living. Wisdom keys for durable and quality living. Wisdom for living. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. It says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Wisdom is a fountain that supplies rivers of life, supplies streams of life. Wisdom is a fountain that drowns the forces of death. It's a fountain that releases the rivers of life. It's a fountain that drowns the forces of death. It drowns the forces of death. On the other hand, foolishness is a killer. Ecclesiastes 7:17 said, very popular scripture, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time? Foolishness cuts people short before their time. Very, very critical is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Wisdom is a defense. And money too is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So there are two things that wisdom and money have in common. Wisdom can defend you from shame. Money can defend you from embarrassment. But there is something wisdom has that money does not have. That is the superiority of wisdom. Is that it gives life to those who have it. There are people who have money, but the money couldn't purchase them life. But wisdom is known to prolong life. Wisdom is known to do for you what money can't do. Somebody say aloud, amen. Going further, in Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 24. Proverbs, he said the way of life is above to the wise. that he may depart from hell beneath. The way of the of life is above to the wise. That is wisdom, links you up to life. Whereas foolishness sinks you down in death. Wisdom is a link to life. The absence of wisdom is the way of death. And so tonight, we're going to look at 8 wisdom keys that a man possessing, a woman possessing, will impact on quality life and durable life. Quality life, meaningful life, and durable life. Number one, maintain a joyful heart. Maintain a joyful heart. Proverbs 17:22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth up the bones. A merry heart is a tonic for life. When the bone is dried up, what is that? Once the bone is dried up, what is that? That's right. I'm talking to you medically.
Aplastic anemia.
The bone marrow, the bone is the center for the manufacture of the blood cells. The red blood cells, the white blood cells, and all of that. When that bone is dried up, life is gone because the red blood cells transport the oxygen in the body. The whole of the body is the transportation of the oxygen is the red blood cell. When you don't have red blood cells, you don't have blood, you are anemic, anemia to death. So joylessness is the drying up of life. It's a drying up of life. There are people who have been depressed to death. If you want your life to be exciting, if you want your life to be quality, you must not allow your joy to dry. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. He said, he has to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. If you don't have the oil of joy, mourning may be inevitable. Mourning. Somebody say, God forbid. Somebody say, God forbid. The coming of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And you know, Joel chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. He said, be ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. Vine is dried up, the fig tree languished, pomegranate tree, everything just dried because joy dried. If the trees, the living things can dry, the life of a man can dry up. Listen, every attack on your joy is an attack on your life. Whatever you need to do to ensure that your joy is intact, do it. That is why those who are not yet married, when you marry frustration, you sign for a lifetime of depression. God will give you signals in your courtship and relationship. That relationship that is already taking your joy. To go forward like an ox to the slaughter is to sign for premature death. I'm speaking prophetically to somebody. Maintain a joyful heart. There are research on octogenarians we talked about some time ago, where they said that laughter and a good sense of humor had been the source of them living 80 years and above. And I've shown you many times people depressed to death, depressed until they died. They never woke up the next day. That will never be your portion. So it is not just an action, it is a wisdom. If you want to live long and live in quality, it is wise to maintain a joyful heart. I heard the story of a young lady was diagnosed with, I believe it was leukemia, a blood cell cancer or something. And this person said, well, before I die, let me enjoy myself. Decided to organize some clean humor, clean comedy, just played some of them and just kept on laughing. At least before I die, let me just enjoy my, let me just be happy. And just laughed and laughed, and within 6 weeks, every trace of this thing died out of the system. Because merriment is medicinal. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Number two. Number one, maintain a joyful heart. Number two is related to the number one, and that is maintain a bitterness-free heart. Avoid an unforgiving and bitter heart. Avoid unforgiveness and bitterness. The two of them set the pace for both trouble and destruction. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, it's a wisdom. Hebrews 12 and in verse 15, the Bible said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and many be defiled. That defiled can be many be destroyed. Because the Bible said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Little foxes destroy the vines. Root of bitterness springing up becomes a destruction to many. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, he said, and when you stand praying, forgive. Right. Verse 25 now, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anybody, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So, unforgiveness and this bitterness also interferes with your relationship with God. And it is God who is to protect and preserve your life. And now there is a breakdown of connection between you and God because of bitterness. And that can lead to destruction. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 34, all the way to verse 35. Matthew 18, 34 to 35. He said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. 35 now. He said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every man his brother his trespasses. So the tormentors are invited. Now this is the point of the matter. Destruction happens at the frequency of bitterness. And from my own experience, madness and bitterness are connected. Over and over, this has been cited in history. T.L. Osborne told a story of how he went to, I believe it was in Uganda, where a young lady had some gang people enter their hostel and then had a rape situation, terrible, brutal situation. This girl came out of that situation and became very, very bitter, justifiably, you may say, very, very bitter against those who abused her. So bitter. She was cursing and cursing us till she practically ran mad. She became violently insane. Can you imagine how the action of a wicked person or wicked people is causing collateral damage? Violently insane. In the crusade of T.L. Osborne, this girl was brought, it was a woman now, was brought to the point of deliverance. And even after the deliverance, she was led into forgiving the offenders. Because that was the root of that madness. It's a destroyer. Don't ever forget Matthew chapter 18 verse 7. I want you to look at it. Matthew 18 verse 7. It says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must need be that offenses come. It's compulsory. The only way you will not be offended is when you are out of this world, when you are done, when you are gone to the grave. He said, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. What is God saying? Offenses will come. Just watch your reaction to the offense while I watch the offender. Am I communicating at all? This is very, very important. Everything we need to do to maintain a joyful heart, maintain it. Everything we need to do to maintain a bitterness-free heart, we must do it. Number three, maintain a steady diet of the word. A steady diet of the word. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Luke chapter 4 verse 4 also says the same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Listen to this. The word of God is the diet for life. The word of God is the diet for life. In addition to that, I mean, the way people eat physical food in order to live, we eat the word to live. In addition to that, the word of God is the word of life. Ezekiel chapter 2 and in verse 2, the Bible said, and as he spoke to me, the spirit entered into me. Now, what is that spirit all about? John chapter 6 and in verse 63, he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God is the word of life. Philippians chapter 2 verse 16, he said it. Philippians 2 16, he said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. The word of God is the word of life. When you eat the word of life, it swallows the forces of death. When you feed on the word of life, it swallows up the forces of death. And this is practical. Try and ensure you get at least a verse of the scripture, two verses, a couple of chapters on a daily basis. And in addition to that, try and see to it that this kind of preaching you are hearing enters your ear on a daily basis. I listened to message, my own message today, and that of my father in the Lord today, before I came for this service today. I listened. While the service is over, I will listen to more messages tonight and look at practical scriptures. What I listened to had nothing to do with what I'm preaching. It has everything to do with my existence. Am I communicating at all? It is a bad habit to open the Bible only on service days. Only on Sunday you open the Bible. And then you close it until midweek service. And then midweek service, you open it again. And then you close it until the next service. That is, nobody survives like that. You don't only eat when there is birthday celebration. You don't only eat because you are invited to a marriage anniversary. You eat daily for personal survival. And it is very, very important that this diet of the world is there. You don't carry umbrella because rain is about to fall. When you are in rainy season, if you are going for certain occasions, you hold your umbrella, especially if there are signs of cloud, so that you can shield yourself. That is how the word of God is. You don't try to look for the word to use to fence off the devil when situations arise. The word was there ready. Somebody said, whenever fear comes to knock on your door, send faith to answer the door. And by the time faith goes to answer the door, you will realize that nobody is there. That's how it is. Let the word, let there be resident revelation. Somebody say resident revelation. Let there be resident revelation to tackle occasional confrontations. Resident revelation. Very, very important. And so, maintain a joyful heart. Maintain a bitterness-free heart. Maintain a steady diet of the word. Number four. Refuse to live in fear. Live in faith. Refuse to live in fear. It's a wisdom. It's a wisdom key for existence. And this is very important because we live in a fear-ravaged world. We live in a world that is ravaged in fear. Yesterday, somebody was telling me challenges that he had. I was going to pray for him. He mentioned almost 10 things. Every one of it was dangerous. Something, cancer, pulmonary embolism, metastasis to the brain, all manner about lined up. That's the kind of world we live in. You will hear things that may break your heart or shake your faith in the cause. Turn on the television, turn on the internet, something. Just bad news. Maybe you wanted to travel and somebody just sent you a prayer request about kidnapping on the road you wanted to pass.
It is, he's not sending to you to frighten you, it's just prayer request. Is it on so and so road where somebody who is about to wed has just gotten kidnapped? Just join us, join your faith with us. And you are about to enter the road, on the same road.
That is why here we ask people not to describe what happened and where they are coming from. Don't describe it.
But, you know that place, that junction between this, no, we don't need to know the junction. So that nobody will be afraid when they are passing that junction. I don't know if you know this place. In our village, on the road from Otukpo to my village, to our village, there is a junction there. In vernacular, they call that junction the junction of Akko, who used to steal person picking. Do you remember? Yes, the mountain of Akko, who used to steal Akko George. Anybody has said it before? When I was a baby, any time we are passing there. Is there anybody from Eke or Bokolosai there? You know the place I'm talking about. Any other person know the place I'm talking about? You know the place I'm talking about. Why did they call the place the man who used to carry person picking? And I was a picking. So anytime we are passing there, I will hold on to anybody I can find and just close my eyes as if we are not passing. By the time we have crossed the place, even if he will carry person picking, he can't carry me. I don't know if there's do you understand what I'm talking about? The Bible says faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Fear coming by hearing, and hearing by the negative news of the world. That's how it is. So, we must guard our heart. Fear now. Job chapter 3 verse 25. Job chapter 3 verse 25. Job 3:25. He said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come up unto me. The thing I greatly feared is come unto me. Fear is a destroyer. In Matthew chapter 14 verse 30, we saw how fear caused Peter to sink. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. Fear brings disaster and faith brings life. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Faith brings life. The just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:16. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live. 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. So avoid fear at all cost. Embrace faith by all means. Now there are many ways to deal with fear and establish faith, but I'll give you two of them. One of them, fear can be dealt with and faith installed by the revelation of the word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more of the word you stuff in yourself, the more faith comes, and the coming of faith is the departure of fear. The more faith comes, and the more fear leaves. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That was Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith, the word of God. Faith can be installed and fear can be expelled by the word of God. The second way in which faith can be installed and fear expelled is praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20, he said, but he said,
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. Install the word, receive the word to kill fear and install faith, and also install faith and kill fear by praying in the Holy Ghost. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 6, 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 6 also the Bible said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gifts of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. Verse 7, he said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The spirit of God is the spirit of boldness. It deals with the spirit of fear. So, after you have gotten the revelation of the word, and there is something you are afraid of, just begin to pray in the spirit until the fear dies. Until all of a sudden you are behaving like a Superman. Until all of a sudden audacity is injected. That is our fourth wisdom. Maintain a joyful heart. Maintain a bitterness-free heart. Maintain a steady diet of the word. Refuse to live in fear. Live in faith. Number 5. Remain under prophetic covering. It's a wisdom. Hide your head under prophetic covering. Remain under prophetic covering. Hosea chapter 12 verse 13. The Bible said, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. The Lord uses your prophet to bring you out of captivity, and the Lord also uses your prophet to guarantee your security and your preservation. And by a prophet was he preserved. Look at what David told his men in 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 23. 1 Samuel 22:23. Abide thou with me. Fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. Anybody looking for me is looking for you. Vice versa. Anybody looking for you is also looking for me. David was telling about 400 men that were under his coverage. He said, but with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. He was not boasting just because he was David. He was boasting because he carried a prophetic mantle. Somebody say a loud amen. We have had experiences of so many people in this church, in this ministry, under this covering, not just in this church, but under the cover of this ministry, where they found themselves in conflict situation. And they say the mantle of the commission appeared in the face of God's servant, and he stood in between them and those demons, and then cleared the devil. And so on. Well, I mean, there are so plenty from all around the world, both in Nigeria and outside Nigeria. The mantle of your prophet tackles the battles of your destiny. You cannot hear that enough. The mantle of your prophet tackles the battle of your destiny. Whoever God has placed as prophet over your life, if you can value that prophetic cover, if you can value that prophetic cover, that mantle tackles the battle. Somebody told me the other day, she said, the devil was trying to make me run away from the same place of my deliverance. While in the service, in the course of a particular ministration, bam, something landed and something took off. Something took off. Beloved brothers and sisters, two things you must never allow to destroy the prophetic covering over your life. Number one, never allow offense. Number two, never allow distance. Offense may be indirect or seem indirect. When the sons of the prophets were telling Elisha, do you know that God will take your master away from you? It was an offense situation they were trying to create. The man that you have served all your life for 21 years, did he at least reveal to you that God will take him? We know how bad the master he is. Very quick tempered. He can call fire on anybody anytime. Is he cautious enough to tell you? Do you know? He's not a good person. I'm sure you know that. You say, I know it. Hold your peace. Him I know, you I don't know. I told you many years ago,
when I was meant to travel with my father in the Lord to a program in America, and somebody who was giving our passport to process visas kept the passport to himself until the journey was almost a few days. And he was asked, where are the passports? So, oh, sorry, it is here. He didn't submit it, he didn't present it. What happened? The man had no explanation. Probably he didn't want us to follow. Baba, who are you to follow him for the trip? You know what somebody told me? Somebody who is also an equal son in the house. He said, if I was the one they did that to, I would leave their father for them. Offense. If I was the one they did such to, I would have left their father for them. Hold them. You see, now you say, okay, you people hold yourself. Let me go and look for another father. I said, no way. Number one, it was not his fault. Number two, I am following a perfect virtue, not necessarily a perfect vessel. Which means there may be oversights. Which means there may be humanness that is not necessarily sinful. We are all persons. You greeted me, I didn't answer you. I am a person. Maybe I was tired. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know the hecticness of this convention that finished for a whole 1 week? There were people still waiting to be seen after commanding the day midnight prayer. To be seen. Possibly to counsel. Haba mana. Haba why? That person will be. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So, not offense. Because the devil will do everything to cut you off from the mantle that holds your deliverance and destiny. He will do it. That's what they were trying to do to blind Bartimaeus. Shut up, hold your peace. Then he cried out the more, thou son of David, have mercy. When they couldn't stop him, he stopped his affliction. Somebody here, I announce to you today, no devil shall stop you. No agenda from hell shall stop you. No power of darkness shall stop you. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. Don't let offense and don't let distance. Thank God for the information communication. I see world. Anywhere you are today, you can connect with one plugin. Whether on YouTube or on live transmission, and just maintain a connectivity. There are people who are in Australia, who are in ends of the world, who know what is going on in every service per hour. One of the greatest things that amazes me the most is when people claim to be under this covering. And very, very drastic testimonies and events. They are not aware. Did you hear the testimony of Emmanuel that God almost raised from the dead? Oh, when did it happen? Did you hear the testimony of Jonathan Shuttlesworth? How one encounter changed his life? Really? Now, if you don't hear such things, what will change your life? It was the testimony of Elizabeth that changed Mary's story. How can this be, since I know not a man? Then the angel said, do you remember Eliza, your cousin? This is the sixth month with the one that was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Really? Elizabeth is pregnant already? 6 months? All right, I'm ready. Do you understand what I'm saying? I heard from Papa Yedepo. He said his wife, Mama, jot down testimonies the way you jot down message. Testimony. Woman trusting God for the fruit of the womb for 13 years. Got triplets. Action. She took the following steps. She references that. This, she took the action number one. She never gave up. Action number two, she kept praising God. Action number three. So Lord, in all situations, give me the grace to keep praising you. That's my lesson from the testimony. He said, thy testimonies are my instruction, instructors. So, to claim that you are following and you are not aware of what is going to happen in the results the mantle is producing and the stress and the impact, there is a limit to which your life can be impacted. Remain under prophetic covering. And I decree to everyone here today, under this covering, every spirit of destruction looking for you, they are arrested and returned back to hell. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. If you are saying amen, say amen at the top of your voice. Look at somebody by your side, say remain under cover, remain under cover, remain under cover. Remain under covering, remain under the prophetic covering. Remain, remain, remain. In Jesus' precious name. Alright, number five. Number six. Avoid careless utterance. It's a wisdom. Avoid careless utterance. Proverbs 18:21 said, death and life, they are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Avoid careless utterance. Matthew 12:37. He said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words bring life. And words bring death. You remember that young man who claimed that he killed Saul? Meanwhile, he didn't. You remember him? David killed him. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. Very, very important. Maybe we'll read verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. My son, if thou be shorty for your friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. Now verse 2, important. Thou art snared with the words of your mouth, and you are taken captives with the words of your mouth. The words of a man's mouth are his captivity or his liberty. You are liberated by the words of your mouth. You are taken captive by the words of your mouth. There are people who play with words and play with words that regrettable. Somebody told me about someone. He said all the time death was on his mouth. So if somebody die now, you know, this and that and that. If somebody die now, to the extent where the person dug his grave while still alive. Not fairy tale, true story. That death that was anticipated was precipitated and it manifested in a hurry. Hurry. When the young man is one of his close, the person's closest friend was the one who told me, I couldn't believe it. Death, death, death on the lips. Yesterday, a woman saw me say, Pastor, I am dying. Pray for me. I said, you want to die? Don't talk like that. You can't talk death and have life. And you cannot talk life and die just like that. I told you some time ago, one of the most painful experiences I had, my life's journey, small boy told the mother, say, mommy, if I die, will you cry? Mommy said, I will cry you. That devil had it was sealed. only child. Thou art snared with the words of your mouth. Thou art taken captive. There are even people who are, look at the woman that testified from Canada the other day. What did the doctor tell her? That she will not live beyond 12 hours. She refused. They referred her here. All the doctors there were almost saying the same thing. She said, let me just reach Nigeria. Let me just. And she arrived at the Glory Dome. Stepped her feet on the ground here. And the death hadn't come yet. And she went and checked herself here, and the picture was appendicitis that was going to rupture, appendix. She said, I want to go to Nigeria. The doctor said, no airline will carry you like this. Everything was pointing to her agreeing to die. She refused. There are some suggestions of symptoms, some suggestions of dreams, and some suggestions of human beings that only want you to agree to die. Somebody say, I disagree. Somebody say, I refuse. Say it loud, I disagree. Loud must say, I shall fulfill my days. I shall live out my days. I disagree with the spirit of premature death. In the name of Jesus. Avoid careless speech. If you won't say anything that is positive, don't talk at all. What I say? What did I say? If you won't see anything positive, don't speak at all. Just keep quiet. So, maintain a joyful heart. Maintain a bitterness-free heart. Maintain a steady diet of the word. Refuse to live in fear. Live in faith. Remain under prophetic covering. Avoid careless speech. Number 7, maintain quality, profitable relationships. Quality, profitable relationships. You know the meaning? Who surrounds you determine what you can survive. Who surrounds you? The quality of people who surround your life, they determine what you can survive and how or whether you will survive. They determine what or whether you will survive. Do I have any example? In Acts chapter 14, verse 19 and 20, Paul the apostle was stoned, and there came in thither Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, concluding that he had died. But the disciples stood round about him, and he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Who surrounds you? Paul was surrounded. He got up. Example number 2, Peter, Acts chapter 12 and in verse 5. James was beheaded, but Peter was put in prison. But Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him out, he was in between two soldiers. In the night, the angel came and brought him out. Who surrounds you determines what you can survive. What about the crippled man in Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Jesus was preaching. It was noise that he was in the house. And then, keep going. And straight away many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one that was sick. He was paralyzed, carried by 4 people. And when they could not come near to him because of the prayers, they uncovered, destroyed the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Can you imagine? Friends that were crazy enough to tear a roof in order to make their friends friend, to live and not die. You need some good friends that can dare anything for your survival. Am I communicating at all? You don't need people who will suffocate your life. You need people who ventilate your life.
You know what brought Dorcas back to life?
People who said, no, this woman must not die.
I am a widow. My children are in school because of Dorcas. My children are close because of Dorcas. Peter, should a person like this die?
Peter said, no. A person like this is not allowed to die. And Dorcas came to life. Please, don't maintain hostility and enmity so that when you need to be surrounded, you won't be abandoned. Please, let me give you three keys to having those who can surround you. Number one, touch lives on a consistent basis. Touch lives. Second, make a difference in the lives of others on a consistent basis. Touch lives. Make a difference in the life of others on a consistent basis. Make the difference. Touch lives. Make the difference in the lives of people on a consistent basis. Thirdly, be a blessing, not a burden, to your world. Be a blessing. To the extent you can, be a blessing, not a burden. Touch lives. Make the difference in the lives of people. Be a blessing, not a burden. I thought you were putting it on the screen. And finally, be friendly. A man that will have friends must show himself friendly. Be friendly, be a friend. Well, you may not be the friend of everybody, but be friendly. Be of such a pleasant disposition. I believe that was what happened to Paul. People he had touched, people in whose life he made the difference, people he had been a blessing to, people he was friendly. When they saw him stoned, while others were running and abandoning him, they surrounded him. And as they surrounded him, he survived. Am I speaking to anybody here? As they surrounded him, he survived. Beloved brothers and sisters, we live in such a world today where the enemy is looking for who to destroy, but they will never find you. If you are in a church like this, the most basic unit of church is called the home cell. Be there. Don't be too big to be there. In this church, we have had people that they have gone to their homes by 2 a.m. to pick to the hospital. That is, a home cell member, a sister, is in labor, obstructed labor. This is 2 a.m. At times I feel so touched, the level to which church people can go in situations like this. It happened to you. Tell us what happened to you.
I want to give birth to my second child. I was outside town. Home cell host was the one that came to pick my wife after 12 in the night.
After 12 in the night. That is the person in whose house they are doing the home cell. The home cell host. He was out of town. He came to pick his wife in his absence. Please. Don't stand alone. Don't stand alone. Snakes are killable easily. And it's a nightmare for them to move together, actually. But they move alone and they are killed alone. Lions hunt in packs. So they are easily wastable. Hardly wastable. The reason why the eagle flies alone and it cannot be touched is because of the height of which it flies.
Hallelujah.
Very, very important. Don't be too important to talk to people. Don't be too psychedelic to answer greeting. Don't come to the point where people will say, oh, just leave them, leave her, leave him. He's too full of himself. Don't do that. Touch lives. Be friendly. Be relational. Ask of people if you can't see them. Find out what's happening to people. Life is a seed. What a man sows is what he reaps. Life is a seed. And I believe today you will fulfill your days. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. Did anybody get anything here tonight? Finally, be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. Be sensitive. That is wisdom number 8. God leads with the signal of peace for the establishment of peace. The leading of God is the guarantee of peace. He gives you the signal of peace to establish you in peace. Psalm 85 and in verse 8, he said, I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn to folly. Anything you do outside the voice of God is called foolishness. And foolishness is a killer. The leading of God ushers you to peace. Outside of his leading equals crisis. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, all the way to verse 7. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. The Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Anything you are doing and you feel peace is a confirmation that the step is in the right direction and it will lead you onto peace. Anything you are doing and you lost peace, it might be a business transaction. It might be a journey you want to embark upon. It might be a relationship you are entering into. Business relationship, marital relationship. And your peace is totally gone. It means you are headed towards danger. Am I communicating? You are headed towards danger. And that step must be watched. Somebody say it loud, amen. Somebody say it louder, amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I reject every journey unto disaster. Also, secondly, and then we'll close here. Job chapter 33 and in verse 14. God leads people. I'll read all the way to verse 18. God leads people to deliver man from his own purpose. He leads you, he guides you to deliver you from your purpose. You know, there are many plans and purposes of man that is their destruction. You remember the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. It delivers man from his own purpose. Let's read it together. For God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. For what purpose? That he may withdraw man from his purpose. He wants to show you a dream so that you don't follow the road you are trying to follow.
And to humble you so that you drop your pride. Nobody can tell me what to do. And hide pride from man. And now he's going to achieve three things. So that he can keep this man's soul from the pit. Why he wants to lead you and deliver you from your purpose is so that you don't go down to the pit. And to deliver you from dying by the sword. Perishing by the sword. And then, can stop here for now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Refusal to hear, chasing sore, pain on the body, all manner, he almost died. Then he said, rescue him for I have found a ransom. Young girl wants to marry a husband. The father said, you don't marry by living together first. You don't dash yourself to a man as a free gift like that. There's a procedure. He said, no. Give birth to first child, no marriage. Second child, no marriage. Third child, fourth. We read that in one seed of destiny the other day. The thing so pained the father. Repeated miscarriages. First, second, third, fourth. And the father and the mother had problem. He drove her. And the mother died of hypertension. After the man drove her out because the marriage could not hold. He said, of what use are you to me? Your mother said, I shouldn't marry you. Your father said, I shouldn't marry you. And now I decided that we should marry. Yet we can't get any child. Miscarriage. You are of no use to me. Kicked her out. No marriage. No man. No mother. No children. He said, I want to guide you to withdraw you from your purpose. I want to deliver you from what you want to do. But you are hell-bent. You will never be a victim of bad experiences. You know, this flesh, it has the ability to listen more than ears. Body hears. Yes, little boy. You say, fire is on the ground. Don't go near it, will burn you. The ear didn't hear. But until he matches the fire, he carries his leg. He said, go and bring me something from there. Say, why? What the ear didn't hear, the body heard it. Body heard. And when the body hears, at times he leaves a deposit that will remind you of what your ear failed to hear. The scar of the fire burn is a permanent memory. May God help us to hear with the ear and not hear with bad experiences. In the name of Jesus. Listen, if you are desperate to hear God, you will hear. If you don't hear by inward voice, inward witness, almost anybody can dream a dream. And even if you cannot, one way or in the course of the preaching, God can make one word come as if the service was for only you to answer your question. But by all means, the first step is to be desperate to hear God. One of the things I didn't want to do in life was to miss God. I didn't want to miss God in who I will marry. And I didn't want to miss God in ministry. I didn't want to miss it at all. So if I was asking, I would be desperate if it's 3 days dry. Whatever it is. Lord, I want to know about this thing. And then it happens all the time. It's a new day for you. You've been given 8 keys. It's one thing for you to have a key. It's another thing for you to use it. Okay? Somebody can give you a key, but nobody can open the door for you. Go over the keys again. Number 1, maintain a joyful heart. Number 2, maintain a bitterness-free heart. Number 3, maintain a steady diet of the word. Number 4, refuse to live in fear. Live in faith. Number 5, remain under prophetic covering. Number 6, avoid careless utterances. Number 7, maintain quality, profitable relationships. And number 8, be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. I'm fully aware that people have been blessed all around the world. Would you lift up your hands and just give the Lord the praise? Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Honor Him. Adore Him. Worship Him. Magnify Him. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Rofeka. Mekadesh. We worship You. We honor You. We adore You. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name. Use 1 minute to thank the Lord. If there is anything you heard tonight that is beneficial to you, lift your voice and thank the Lord for it. Go ahead and speak to God. Go ahead and speak to God. Lakata shati firo toko kushukulakala. Lekata soko kola kakala. Reta sata kala kala. Father, we give You the praise. We give You the honor. We give You the adoration. We give You the worship. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and your voice and pray this prayer after me and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father.
I come before You today. With the, to receive the grace. To maintain. Joyfulness of heart. To maintain. A bitterness free spirit. To maintain. The steady diet of the world. I receive the grace. And the discipline. To live in faith. To refuse to live in fear. In the name of Jesus, grace to remain under the prophetic covering. I receive it in the name of Jesus. The grace to avoid careless utterance. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Help to maintain quality, profitable relationships. I receive it. And the grace to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. I receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Go on ahead and speak to God. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. All the points mentioned tonight, please, when you get back home, identify the areas you need to do something about. Areas where you need to forgive somebody, where you need to let go. Become more sensitive to God and ask more questions. Lord, am I to embark on that journey? Am I to be involved in this relationship? Areas where you are. I've been careless in my speech. Lord, I am so sorry for the carelessness of speech. No, I can't die like that. I can't go like that. Areas where, Lord, I am tightening up my prophetic covering. No devil can push me out of cover. Areas where, Lord, I need a higher appetite for the word. I need to study word more. And then, the release of those that must be released. You see, when you say you should, people should be forgiven. I use this illustration all the time. Forgiveness is not the same as foolishness. Because, oh, okay, they say I should forgive the person. Okay, all right, I have forgiven you. We are now friends. That may be an error. The command is to love everybody. The command is not to be the friend of everybody. Be friendly with everybody, but make friends selectively. Am I communicating? This is what I mean. Can I have a bottle of water? I know we don't bring water here, but if we're in America, we'll get plenty bottles. Because they drink per second. After one statement. So do you understand what I'm talking about? I preach like that in Houston, Texas. My assembly said, I preached for 3 hours the other day, but I didn't drink water. So, you know what I'm talking about? He's from Columbus, Ohio. Just put the water on the table, be drinking, and the audience is watching. If somebody gave you this bottle of water to drink, and for one reason or the other, you don't feel like drinking it, and you gave it to a dog, and the dog drank it and died, what does that suggest? That water was poisoned, and the intention was to kill you.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
If you are a true Christian, and the person says sorry, or God convicts you, whatever, if you are a true Christian, will you forgive the person or not? Will you? You have to forgive him. Question number one. Question number two. If that person gives you water another time, are you under obligation to collect it? Is it because you have not forgiven him? That is, forgiveness is walking side by side with wisdom. Wisdom is profitable. So forgive to the full extent, but be wise to the greatest extent. Don't surrender wisdom to forgiveness. Forgive liberally, but relate wisely. Sila. So that is what is a confusion in most people. You say, I should forgive. Does it mean, okay, I should, the person dread it? I should, No. You are forgiving, but you walk carefully and selectively. And then trust is end. You are forgiving the person, but it must end the trust for however long it takes to end that trust. That makes life easy, isn't it? And it makes you forgive without putting yourself in the way of danger, and make you love without surrendering yourself to premature death in the name of I have forgiven. So I can relax myself. Sila. Somebody say amen. So we are going to deal with the number one point, and that is the point of joy. I release every garment of heaviness, and I want you to celebrate for 2 minutes. Once we have done that, we are set for the communion of preservation, and we are set for the oil, the communion of escape, and the oil of preservation. Lift your hands and say, Father, I reject every garment of heaviness. I receive the garment of praise. I receive it now in the name of Jesus.
Lift your voice and speak to God. I reject every garment of heaviness. I receive the garment of praise, the garment of celebration. I receive it now. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody say loud amen.